that brings me to preaching time. I'm grateful to be able to preach the word of God. So let's bow our heads and let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, God, we thank you, we praise you, we love you. God, we ask that you would just bless this preaching moment, and that you would touch it, and that you would give us something that you want us to have. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And let the people say,
amen.
All right, with your Bibles in your hands, repeating after me, this is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I am what it says I am.
I am what it says I am.
I can do what it says I can do.
I can do what it says I can do.
I will have what it says I will have.
I will have what it says I will
have. I'm a part of Deliverance Temple.
I'm a part of Deliverance Temple.
Where we love.
Where we love.
By living our vision every day.
By living our vision every day.
We connect with our Creator continually.
We connect with our Creator continually.
We confess our deliverance consistently.
We confess our deliverance consistently.
We commit to serve creatively.
We communicate Christ's love compassionately.
Father God,
Father God,
feed me your word.
Feed me your word.
If you believe you're going to be fed, go ahead and make some noise this morning. Amen. Thank God for the feeding of the word of God. And speaking of feeding, I have an odd title, but by the time we get to the end of it, it'll make clear sense to you. And so today's title for the sermon is greedy. Greedy. Let's look up a definition for greedy. Somebody said, I don't need a definition. All I got to do is look in the mirror. No, let's give us a working definition of greedy. It means having or showing an intense and selfish desire for something, especially wealth or power. Another part of the definition is having an excessive desire or appetite for food, which is what I was thinking about. And so I'm just going to give you how I got to this and where this came from. It came from my dog Bentley. And so I was feeding him on yesterday and just watching how he is. And I said to myself, and this is not the first time I said it, I said to myself, boy, you a greedy joker. And he really is. Like, we have to, in our text thread in the family, we have to say, have you fed him? Because if somebody puts food in his bowl, he'll eat like he ain't never ate before. Also, when just yesterday I had fed him, had him out, he had treats, he was good, and he was in the cage. And soon as Devin and Alana come home, here he come barking like he ain't been fed. I was like, don't feed him, don't give him nothing. He's fine. He just greedy. And they say the type of dog we have, which is a Shih Tzu, which is a mix, that's one of their reward centers, is just eating. They'll eat till they're sick. They'll just eat to eat. He'll throw up and then go and eat again. He'll be like, just go on somewhere. The other day they had said that they had some lamb chops, and I guess a bone fell, and he went and snatched it, and they couldn't get it out of his mouth. He wasn't letting go. He growling because he just greedy. So yesterday while I was watching him eat, I'm laughing. I'm like saying, boy, you so greedy. I call him all kinds of names. I call him Fatness. Like, come here, Fatness. So anyway, as I was watching him be greedy like he normally is, I simply heard God say something that arrested me. He said, what if my people were as greedy for me as he is for his food? And I was like, wow. It just, I didn't think I was going to preach on it. It was just a thought. And then I got to thinking, it was like, greed. So I want to put this up as we work through this. Greed is destructive when it is self-centered, but can be transformative if it is God-centered. So let's think outside of the destructive greed, and let's start thinking of it in that intense passion and desire for God. Now let's put it in the mindset of my dog. I said my dog will eat, but then if he gets a chance, he'll eat again. But some of us, if I come on Sunday, I don't need no God for the rest of the week. I done had enough God. But maybe you're not greedy enough for the things of God. Look at Job 23 verse 11. Would you read that?
My foot has held fast to his path. I have kept his way and not turned aside.
This is Job talking. Now, Job is going through a horrible trial, but he's talking about the fact that I've stayed close to God even in this tough time and before. Look at verse 12.
I have not departed from the command of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food.
Oh, I have treasured the words of God's mouth more than my necessary food. When you talk about necessary food, we're not talking about the extra food. We're talking about what is necessary to survive. Many times when we are hungry, we say, man, I'm starving. Ooh, I can't wait to have something eaten. Because when you are really hungry, your stomach begins to actually have aches and pains, and you need to get something in you, whether it's food or drink. When you begin to be famished, and most of us have not been at starvation levels, but some of us have at least been famished, or we've been extremely hungry. And Job said that necessary food that get that hunger pain off of you, he said, I actually want God's words more than that necessary food. So pause for a moment and think in your mind the last time you were hungry. You were hangry because you were hungry. You had an attitude because you haven't eaten. Sometimes it may be because you're traveling. Maybe you're on a plane and you haven't got a chance to get where you need to go, and you're hungry, and you know how sometimes your stomach begins to growl and make noises, and you realize, I got to get something in me. And sometimes it doesn't have to be the most elaborate meal. Here, for me, I do not like McDonald's, but I've been hungry enough that I've been glad to see a McDonald's. I'll find something to get the hunger pain off. But Job says, I treat God's word more than my necessary food. I wonder if we could be like that. Let's go even further.
I am not endorsing the sin of greed, but rather intrigued by the satisfaction of greed.
Of course. So normally you're not going to hear someone preach a message about being greedy as a good thing. But I'm not talking about the sin of greed, which you already understand. But I'm intrigued by the satisfaction of greed. So here's what makes greed a sin, is because it is what we call insatiable. It cannot be satisfied. So for those who are greedy for wealth, they will already have wealth and do dirty things to get more wealth. There are people who have wealth and could treat people who have less than them. They could treat them well, and they'll step on their back, step on their head so that they can have more. That's greedy. There are those people who have enough food and will throw away food before giving someone else some food. When I was growing up, you had to eat everything on your plate, because they would tell you there's somebody starving and don't have anything, so you don't throw nothing away. But people who are greedy, they don't care. There's a different mindset. So that intrigued me about the level of satisfaction, and it made me go back to what God said. It made me think, why is it we are so satisfied with God so quick and so easily? Let me give you something that I heard somebody say years ago. It was a part of this ministry. Her name was Mother Chambers. Some of y'all remember Mother Chambers. Yeah. Mother Chambers was a great teacher of the Bible. Had several different nice sayings, but there was one thing that she said that I've never forgotten. One day she was talking and she said, unfortunately, God's people have spiritual gastric bypass. Like, what you talking about, Mother Chambers? You know, I'm thinking, but she went ahead to explain it, because that's when gastric bypass was just getting popular. And so what they do in that, they find a way to shrink the stomach so that when people eat, they are satisfied quicker. They are full quicker. And what she was saying is the people of God, they get full of God too quick. Some people will say, I just want a touch of God. I just want a dab of God. Why your satisfaction for God can be so small, but your satisfaction for other things can be so great? I can't wait till the new Netflix season drops. I can't wait to go on vacation. Nothing wrong with vacation. Nothing wrong with Netflix. But why is it that you can be so satisfied with God so easily? All I need is one scripture and that'll carry me the whole month. Why is it that one scripture can carry you a whole month? Do you only eat one time a month? What's wrong with our spirituality? Our stomach has shrunk. We don't have the appetite that we used to have. Now, the older I get, this has bothered me personally because, and I'm not talking about spiritually, I'm talking about naturally, because my favorite holiday is Thanksgiving. I love just eating without, we eat at Christmas, but at Christmas usually there's some expectation of giving, but Thanksgiving is just about gathering and eating. And so because I know that the night before, I don't eat a whole lot. That way on Thanksgiving Day, I can pig out. No, I can do extra. I can put extra on my plate. But the last couple years, as I've gotten older, one of the most disappointing things is I eat one plate and I get full. I'm looking at the desserts, and the desserts no longer look good, even though I love desserts. But what's happened is I've gotten full, and this is what you know. When you get too full, I don't care how good it is, you just don't want no more. It'll hurt to put some more. Do you want some of this? I was like, man, I wish I could eat more, but I just don't have the appetite. What happens when you no longer have an appetite for God? You've gotten full way too quick. You've gotten sluggish. You've gotten lazy. You've gotten, oh, well. What happens when you get jaded about the things of God? I don't care if I pray or not. I don't care if I go or not. I don't care if you have gospel music playing around me or not. I no longer care because I've gotten too full. So God told me I need some greedy folk, greedy for the things of God, that are not full too quick, that are not satisfied too quick. This is what Paul said. Paul said that I may know him in the fellowship of his suffering. He said, I want to know him so much. First of all, he said, I want to know him in the power of his resurrection. But then he said, even in the fellowship of his suffering. That means even if I've got to suffer, I want to know him so much, I'm willing to suffer because I'm so greedy for him. Now, I didn't put this in the notes, but I did think about it. Paul was told, he was told by a prophet, don't go and preach here because it's going to be great trouble for you. And Paul said, I don't care. He's been so good to me that I don't mind suffering for him. I'm so greedy for God that even if God don't bless me the way I want to be blessed, even if I don't have the house I want to have or the relationship I want to have, I'm so greedy for God, I'm willing to take less as long as I have. If I have the mansion and no God, it's not worth it. If I have a marriage and no God, it's not worth it. If I have a ministry and no God, it's not worth it. Give me God because I'm greedy for God, because God didn't have to rescue me like he rescued me. He didn't have to touch me like he touched me. So I don't need an organ to praise God. I don't need a church building to praise God. I don't need the Pope, the Bishop, the pastor to praise God. I got a praise on my lips because I'm greedy for God. I'm radical for God. I'm going for God. And I want to raise some greedy folk for the things of God. All right, now that you know where we're going, let's roll. Somebody say roll, Pastor.
Roll, Pastor.
Five key areas to be greedy in. We can do a lot of things, but five key areas to be greedy in. Number one is our emptiness. I want to be greedy to be empty. In other words, like I was saying, we don't want to be full too quick. So we want to make room. This is what the waitress will say to you whenever you're eating out, or the waiter, they will say, did you save room for dessert? Did you save room? I want to ask you, with all the things you're doing, have you saved room for God? If there's enough room in your spirit for God to come in, if it's not, that means something's got to go. So God, empty me so you can fill me up. If there's something in me that's got to go, God, you can take it away from me so I have enough room for you to occupy. So I don't mind being empty. That's easy to preach, much harder to live. Because sometimes when God begins to empty you and stretch you and pull things out of you, it does not always feel pleasant. But when you're greedy for God, you'll stay on the potter's wheel. I don't mind that you tore the relationship up that I thought was going to last. I don't mind it anymore, God, because I understand you are emptying me. I don't mind that you removed the job from me that I thought I was going to retire from, because I realized you were emptying me. But God, I don't want you just to empty me unless you're going to fill me up. So God, I'm greedy to be empty. Let's look at a scripture that wouldn't make sense unless you understand the principle of emptiness. Let's read Matthew 5 and 3.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Blessed are the poor in spirit. In most cases, poor is not something that you want to be. But in this case, it is beautiful to be poor, because those who are poor know they need some more. And so, God, I thank you that I'm empty in my spirit, because that means I need you to fill me up. I need you to come and be my abundance. So I'm grateful that I'm empty in my spirit. Let's read it, the same verse in the Message Bible. Read it, Mother Mitchell.
You're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there is more of God and his rule.
Ah, some people, when they are going through things that's causing less of them, they are frustrated. But there are other people who are disciples of Christ, and the more they've been in God, when the emptying season comes, they no longer fight it. They understand that God never takes away from me if he's not going to give back to me. So God, I'm willing to allow you to empty me. I remember the songwriter that said, fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting in my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. In other words, fill me up. Fill my cup. I lift it up. Make me whole. And so the context of the song is, I've got to be empty so God can fill me. Let's take this a little further in this emptiness. Put this up here for me. We must be greedy to be rich in him, and happy when we are empty of us. The older I get as being Andre, the less I trust Andre. So I'm so grateful when God takes Andre out and puts himself in. Just on this week, so Friday and Saturday, I was at 3 funerals in 2 days. One of the funerals I had to preach in, it was a person that used to be my boss almost 30 years ago. And so I work with the daughter now, and he passed away. And they said they wanted me to do the funeral. And I'm thinking, why me? And here's something I thought of. When he was my boss almost 30 years ago, I bet he never knew that this person that I am his boss is going to turn around and have to help bury me one day. And so as I'm thinking, I don't even know what to say. And sometimes I wonder, God, why do you even choose me and place me in places like this? Because I don't know what I'm doing. And then it dawns on me, that's why he chooses me. Because I'm so empty that I have to know if something happens, it has to be God. Because I don't trust me. I'm not one of those preachers that's going to pull out a file and just roll the decks. Oh, we're going to preach on this today. No, I preach empty. God, whatever you say. God, whatever you talk about. But that's what causes the prosperity or the feeling or the power to come. The more empty you are, the more room God has to move. And I need to tell you something. Throughout your life, it looks like you've been emptied. It looks like you've had holes poked in you. It looks like folk have stabbed you in your back. But God is allowing you to run empty so his power can take over. And people will know, this is not Andre. This is not Jasmine. This is not Devin. This is not Brian. That has to be God, because they're too empty for it to be anything else. Yeah. Look at this. Look at what Jesus' cousin said about himself.
He must increase, but I must decrease.
Look at the next verse. It's in the Message Bible. Same verse, but in the Message Bible.
This is the assigned moment for him to move into the center while I slip off to the sidelines.
One of the greatest things you can do in life is slip off to the sidelines. Yeah. And let the captain of the ship take over. I'm so grateful I don't have to drive the ship. There's a saying that got popular about 20 years ago. Jesus, take the wheel. Well, God, I don't even want to be in the front seat. Put me in the trunk. I don't need to do this. I can't do this by myself. So God, take it all the way over. I need you to do it. I want to be empty so that you can show up. One of the worst things that can happen for me as a pastor is when you leave here, you see me. Woo, my pastor. Woo, my pastor. Woo, Andre. Woo, Andre. If you don't say no, God, I done messed up. Amen. It's got to be, I thank God for using my pastor. I thank God for speaking through my pastor. I thank God for helping my pastor. I want people to see God. And the same thing with you. You got to be empty so God can be seen. But you got to be greedy so you can be empty. Look at this. This will bring it all home for us. Put it up for me. Some are greedy for the spotlight while others are greedy for his light. Oh, I can't trust somebody who's got to have all the attention. I can't trust somebody who's always got to take credit for everything. I can only trust somebody that says, for God I live, for God I die. If it wasn't for the hand of God, how did you do this and how did you do that? Don't ask me how did I do this and that, because I'm going to disappoint you, because I only got three letters, G-O-D. How'd you pay this off? G-O-D. How'd you keep your head together when you had miscarriages? G-O-D. How did you make it when your dad passed? G-O-D. Well, I need something deeper than that. I don't have nothing deeper than tell you. It's God. Hallelujah. It's all God. So our emptiness is number one. Number two, his righteousness. Yeah. Our emptiness, his righteousness. Read this verse here. It's a very familiar verse. Read it, Matthew 5:6.
Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled.
Shall be filled. Blessed are those who are quickly satisfied. No. Blessed are those who get hungry enough. They get hungry enough. Now remember, those of you who are mothers, remember when your child couldn't talk and the only way they can let you know they were hungry was with their cry. And with their scream. And sometimes some of y'all had greedy babies. And sometimes they would cry when they really didn't need to be fed. But sometimes as a mother, you knew the cry of hunger. And you knew, I need to hurry up and feed this baby. And sometimes people are wondering, why hasn't God showed up? Why hasn't God moved? You ain't got hungry enough. Your cry isn't loud enough. If you can sit in a praise service and you don't praise one time, you ain't hungry enough. I need some folk walking down the street, their hand just goes up. I can't help it because I got a cry. I got a hunger. I apologize, but I'm just greedy for this thing. I'm greedy for God on a Sunday, but I'm greedy for God on a Monday. Greedy for God on a Wednesday, but greedy for God on a Thursday. And I want to be filled with more of God, so my hunger has to increase. Yeah. All right. Let's read it in the Message Bible.
You're blessed when you've worked up a good appetite for God.
Oh, yes.
He's food and drink in the best meal you'll ever eat.
Ooh, I don't know what's the best meal you've ever had. But think of the best meal you've ever had naturally and realize spiritually God is 1,000 times greater than the best meal you've ever had. Have you ever been to a place that people told you was really good, and because of the price on the menu, you expected it to be great, but once you ate it, it wasn't as good as the price? And you left there disappointed. Well, God is not like that. He's everything they say he is, and he's more than that. He's everything you found out in the Bible, and he's more than that. He's a doctor in a sick room. He's a lawyer in a courtroom. He's everything they said he was, and he's more than that. He's the best thing you've ever tasted. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. So work up an appetite for your God, because he's everything they say. Now as a father, I've always tried to expose my kids to things, and in doing so, that means sometimes paying and buying stuff. But as I've done that, I realize there's a lot of hype to a lot of this stuff. We were in Disney World. I've taken my kids to Disney World a couple of times. But as you think about it, there's a whole lot of commercialization. They say it's the happiest place on earth. Yeah, it's happy to y'all because y'all charge so much. I remember the first time I took my kids there, they didn't care so much about Disney World. They liked the pool at the hotel. They liked the little TV show we was watching. I almost got mad. I got to make them get out. I didn't pay too much money. We could have watched TV at home. Come on, let's go. Let's go see Mickey Mouse. I want to force them. I didn't pay too much money. But here's the thing, as you live life, you'll find out a bunch of this stuff is hyped up. Ooh, I can't wait to go to Vegas till you get there and realize it's just a way to get your money. Now, it's not that you won't have fun and won't enjoy some of it, but nothing is as good as God is. Amen. I don't care where your passport can take you, there's nothing as good as God. So get greedy for God. And here's something I need you to understand. If you get greedy for God, then and you take God on your vacation will be better. Because you'll start seeing God in everything. Here's the thing. If you try to escape God to go have fun, you're going to be miserable. So you might as well get a hold of God. When I go on vacation, that don't mean I stop talking to God. I'm still talking to God because I still need God. Sometimes I need God even more. God, keep this plane in the sky. God, keep this boat on the water. God, keep this Uber driver I ain't never met. Make sure he does what he's supposed to do. I need God everywhere I go. So create an appetite for God. Here's the problem with some of us. We only have an appetite for God when things are going bad. So it's not in God's interest to make things go good for you, because as soon as things get good, there is no God. So if you want, I don't know why, I always got to go through to see God, because the moment he lifts up the pressure, you run away. So you better figure out how to serve God in the good times as well as the bad times. God, I want to serve you when I'm happy as well as when I'm sad. I want to create an appetite for you. And here's the reason why, for the righteousness, because this is really the whole crux of the gospel. This verse right here, and I'm going to read it. Go ahead and throw it up. 2 Corinthians 5:21. This is the gospel in really one verse. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The simplification of that, even though that's simple, is God traded our sins for his righteousness. Our sins for his righteousness through his son. So you mean to tell me that Jesus did all of this on the cross to pay for your righteousness, and you're not even hungry for it? You're not even happy for it? Now, I didn't always get it when I was first married, but when Lady Devin would say, the food is ready, I'm thinking, I'll get it later. But it would kind of irritate her, because she's like, now the food got cold. But I didn't realize until I start cooking, listen, I want you to taste it in the best way possible. Yeah. So if you lollygag around and it gets cold on you, you're going to assume it was my cooking that did it. So while it's hot and ready, come on and get it. But God died on the cross for your righteousness, and you playing around like he ain't done nothing. It's better than Little Caesars. It's hot and ready. Come and get it. Get his righteousness. Get his joy. Get his peace. Get greedy for the things of God. Not only get greedy, but get excited for the things of God. All right, the little kids, they used to say, I got ants in my pants. I want to dance. When we was little, we was after recess, and we done recessed out, and it was time to go to the cafeteria. Little kids, that the teachers had to make them get in line and be still, because you get antsy, because I know I'm getting ready to get filled up. I done played and worked myself up an appetite. But some of us, we need to get like that in the things of God. I'm antsy to get to the house of God. Well, you know it's Tuesday. We're not going to have a Wednesday Bible study. I don't need Wednesday Bible study to get a hold of God. I'm getting a hold of God every single day because I got an appetite. Excuse me, I'm just greedy for the things of God. All right. Here's another thing that's going to help us with our greed. So we started with the first one, then the second one. So it's going to go with our and his, our and his. And so we just left with his righteousness. Now, Our weakness is another reason that helps us be greedy, because it is our weakness that drives us to understand and comprehend his strength. And so read the quintessential verse for that. Look at 2 Corinthians 7 through 9, New Living Translation. Read it for me.
Even though I have received such wonderful revelations from God, so to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud.
All right.
Three different times I begged the Lord to take it away.
Begged him to take it away. Look at verse 9.
Each time he said, "My grace is all you need."
Or King James vernacular, "My grace is sufficient." Read.
"My power works best in weakness."
Woo!
"So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me."
Oh, work through me. This is what I loved about our men's breakfast, is we didn't have to pretend like we were so strong. We could be vulnerable with each other, because when we are weak, that's when God's strength can come in. And so I am greedy to be weak. In other words, I'm greedy to be needy. I need God. I'm allowing God. I am grateful for God. I'm appreciative of God. I'm appreciative that I'm weak enough that God can fill me up. I'm learning that I don't have to know everything. I'm learning that I don't have to have everything figured out. I'm learning that I can be weak. So just on last night, I got into bed kind of early, and I was going to get up later, but I end up just kept pushing the alarm further and further back. Before I knew it, it was midnight. And I woke up at midnight, and I was like, man, if I wake up, I might end up being up for a while. But then I thought, let me just look at my phone and check the church. Something just told me, check the church heat, and I realized the heat is off. And I come over here, and I'm like, well, I don't want to have to deal with anything. And I just ask a simple prayer. God, why does this stuff keep messing up? And so I looked at it, and I couldn't figure it out, and I went on about my business. And then I prayed again. I said, God, why is this still messing up? But then I added this word where I said, God, you know I don't know what I'm doing. God, can you just show me? So I took the thing off, and I seen a bolt that had fallen down. I said, I wonder if I put this bolt back where it's supposed to go, I wonder would it make the imbalance balance. And so I just screwed it in by hand, and the thing fired up. Now here's the thing, I had looked at it before, but once I confessed my weakness, yes, that God, I don't know what I'm doing. Let me be honest with you. First thing I did is I went to YouTube. and I went to Google. But sometimes God don't want you to rely on anything but him. But once I got off of Google and I got off of ChatGPT and Siri, because I didn't talk to everybody trying to figure out what's going on. I didn't even know what the part, I could see the part, but I couldn't even remember what the part was. I didn't said everything, but I just prayed in my weakness, would you just cause me to see? And then I seen it, and the thing just fired right up, and it's still working right now to the point that I'm hot right now because I had to get weak enough. Sometimes you're too strong. You're too strong in your strength. So you need something. Now, here's something that we forget in this story. The scripture says that there was a messenger of Satan, but he was allowed. It was allowed so Paul wouldn't get proud. Here's the truth about many of us. If God doesn't allow us to get weak, we get the big head and the big shoulders. And we get to talk about, look at what I did. Look at, graduated from college and I got a PhD. Do you realize if God don't touch your head, your eye doesn't mean anything? You'll be in a corner talking about blah, 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 blah. If it wasn't for the hand of God, it's not I, it's God. I'm weak so you can be strong. And so here's what happens with the weakness. It brings us to this. Number four, his nearness. Because the weaker I am, the nearer I need to be to God. The weaker I am, the nearer I need to be to his strength. All right, let's give you the example of Wi-Fi. When your Wi-Fi is struggling and you have just a few bars, you realize the closer I get to the source, the more the bars will go up. And so when I get weak, here's the thing. You won't get close until you realize that you're weak. You usually don't plug in your phone until it starts telling you, oh, it's about to die. Oh, I need to go plug in. It's the weakness that exposes your need to be near to the source of the strength or to the source of the power. So here's the thing. As I get weak, the nearer I need to be. All right, let me say this. Some people, they're not necessarily loud Christians. But just because they're not loud Christians don't mean they're not near Christians. You see, I grew up with my father going and visiting older saints. Sometimes the older saints weren't loud because their voice wasn't strong anymore. But you could tell they were near. Because the presence of God would be there. And they would just talk. And I'd watch my daddy talk to these church mothers. Or my mother talk to these church mothers. And they'd just be sitting talking about the things of God. And I'm not here to talk about anybody. But I did notice they weren't watching the young and the restless. They weren't watching, as my dad would say, the old and the crazy and the crippled and the tired. They were so near to God that there were some things they didn't want in their spirit to mess up the nearness. It's not that the young and the restless is wrong, but some people are so near to God, I can't allow anything to mess up my nearness. I'm too greedy to allow too much stuff to get in my spirit. Every now and then I can try it. Every now and then I can watch it. Every now and then I can listen to it. But I can't have a daily diet of it because it messes up my nearness. And I'm too greedy to have my nearness messed up. So that's why some of y'all no longer have appetites for some other stuff. And people tell you, oh, you too deep. It's not that I'm too deep. I'm just too near. Well, don't you care about the Super Bowl? Not really. I'm too near to God in this moment. Doesn't make the Super Bowl wrong. Doesn't make watching football wrong. Doesn't make me more deep because I'm not into it. But I'm working on this nearness. And as you get nearer because you've been weak, it just changes what you desire.
Hallelujah.
Desire shift and change. All right, look at this verse here. I love this verse.
As the deer pants for streams of water, ooh, So my soul pants for you, my God.
You have to put in your mind's eye the picture of an animal who's really, really thirsty and how they pant. Even I was thinking about my dog as well, when he's really, really thirsty. And he's not happy till you put some water in that bowl. I wonder how many of y'all are panting for the things of God. I'm thirsting for the things of God. Oh, I need God. That's why some of y'all have your own praise breaks by yourself away from the church, and you'll just go in. Some of y'all got a Swiffer and the Kirk Franklin's praise, and you just Swiffering and praising because I need his nearness. I need his closeness. I need a connection that cannot be changed. And here's the truth of the matter, because many times we're going through hell on the outside and hell on the inside. And the only thing that balances our mind is my nearness to God. If I get near to God, I feel like a giant when I get near to God. Sometimes the trouble is still there, but I feel like I can handle it because I'm near to God. I know the devil's on my case, but I'm near to God. I was sharing with the men the other day, the devil's been trying to kill me. He's been trying to harm me. And all I've been able to do is just laugh it off because the crazy things are happening. It was Friday. I was leaving here. I was at the church again. I was leaving here Friday going down Madison Street. I'm heading north on Madison, which means that I was in this lane and there was a car on this lane. And then we're coming up toward Adams Street, which is the turning on the left lane. So there's a car on the far right lane. I'm in the middle lane, and we're both supposed to go through the light. The only way you can turn is if you're in this lane over here. This guy over here tries to turn on Adams while we're going straight. He turns and crosses right in front of me. I was just alert enough to slam on the brakes. I'm wondering what in the world is going on. I don't know if you're drunk or you're crazy, you're high, but what I do know is the devil wants to harm me, but because I'm near, what the angel of God does, and no, you can't mess with him today. No, you can't. You can't do it. You may want to, but you can't, because he's too near to me. Now the light's green, so we're moving, and he just turns. He doesn't. Normally what you would do, you would wait for somebody to go up and then you would try to move over. He waits till the light turned green. We both move forward and he just shoots and turns right in front of me. And at the last moment, I'm able to navigate around that. That ain't my driving skills. It's because I'm near to God. But it's the same thing. It's some stuff. The devil don't like you, but I'm too near for it to care, for it to matter. I'm too near. I'm too close. I'm too greedy for God. So devil, try it if you want to. So of course I was upset, but by the time I got to the next life, I was like, thank you, God. The devil can't eat. Even when he wants to, he can't. I told you that when we got home from our cruise, me and my wife are driving down 69 and somebody literally runs into me and I don't have nothing but a little scratch. You can't even see it. It doesn't make sense at 70 and 75 miles an hour when somebody literally hits you. Something should happen, but I'm too near to God. God is so close to me. He's got me covered. That's why you got to be greedy. Because you got a devil out there that don't like you. Oh, let's go to the next verse of that same passage.
My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God?
Ooh, when can I go and meet with God? It's like having a date with God. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Some of the greatest moments in my life is just the whispers of God. I love my wife. I love my kids. I love this church, but nothing's been greater than just the moments I've had with my God, the nearness with my God, the closeness with my God. I've been high, but it is not as high as the closest with my God. There's no sex that's greater than the closest with my God. I'm near to him, and because I'm so weak, I need to stay near.
Hallelujah.
Put this up here. Our weakness is not supposed to make us run from God, but long to be nearer to God. Look at Exodus 33, 14 and 15. Read that.
The Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest."
Next verse.
Then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here."
Moses is in the wilderness. And when God says, "My presence is going to go," Moses said, "Listen, I don't care how bad it is here, but if your presence ain't going, I don't want to leave. I want your presence is so important that if your presence is not going to be there, I don't want to be there. Where we going to Hawaii, is his presence going to be there? If his presence is going to go with me and be with me while I'm there, I want to go. Well, Hawaii is better than Muncie. Yes, it probably is, but not if his presence isn't there. If his presence isn't there, I can stay right here where his presence is. If your presence ain't going, I don't want to go. Where there's a new job opportunity, well, is his presence going to be there? If not, I'm not going where his presence isn't. Well, so-and-so proposed to me. Is the presence of God going to be in the marriage? If the presence of God is not going to be there, you don't need the proposal and you don't need the ring. You need the presence of God. It's his nearness that makes all the difference. And until you get greedy about the presence of God, you're going to always fall a little bit short. All right, here's number five and the final one, his likeness. His likeness. Read Genesis 1:26.
Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth."
All right, verse 27.
So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them.
All right, beautiful. And this is a theological principle. It's called the Imago Dei. And so we're going to give you just a full definition of what that is. It's a Latin term translating to the image of God, referring to the theological concept that humans are created in God's own image and likeness. It signifies that all humans possess intrinsic sacred value, dignity, and purpose, reflecting God's character through their rational, moral, and relational nature. Let's just give us a few more. Intrinsic value is this: every human, regardless of status, possesses dignity because they represent God on earth. Moral and intellectual nature, it suggests humans reflect God's intelligence, creativity, and morality. Finally, impact of sin and redemption. While sin is thought to have marred this image, Christian theology teaches it is restored through Jesus Christ. Here's another thing I'm going to put up, and I'm going to just talk for a moment, and then we'll get out of here. We have to be greedy to protect the image. The reason why I want to be greedy for God is because I was created in his likeness. And so the closer and the nearer I am to him, and as I've been greedy for his righteousness, and I've allowed my emptiness to come out so he could fill me up, and I'm moving in that direction, then I begin to look more like my maker, look more like my creator. And so the further I get away from him, the further I am away from the likeness that I'm created in. So there was an old book years ago called The Purpose-Driven Life. And it means to align your life up with the purpose that God has put over your life. And so when you drift away from the purpose and you're not greedy for the things of God, then you stop looking like the likeness. When I was young, my mama would put some nice clothes on me. And she said, "Boy, don't come back here with these clothes all messed up. Now don't be coming." If she put white pants on me, she don't want me come back with green stains on it. Mud. And guess what? That's exactly what I would do. I come back with unemployed in them, because I didn't understand that when she bought the stuff
for me and dress me and sit me out, I was a reflection of her. And so every time I would mess that up, I'm reflecting on her. But if she could feel like that over clothes that she bought at Off Price World. Y'all remember Off Price World?
I love a bargain.
No, if she could be like that over those natural clothes, what do you think God says over the things he's given you? He says, be dressed in the armor of the Lord. And when you pull away from his likeness and you're not greedy for the things of God, you begin to look like, and this is what Jesus told some of the religious folk. He said, you act like your father, the devil. And so you shouldn't be a Christian looking more like the devil than you look like God. You got to be greedy for the image of God, greedy for the likeness of God. I got to start acting like God. I got to start thinking like God. I started start moving like God. And that's why some of y'all are raising your level up, because I've been living too low. I've been living in the basement. I've been living in the bottom of the barrel. I got to rise up so I can reflect the manner of God. God said I had dominion, but I'm the one being dominated. Addiction, you got to let go of me. I've got to have power over you. I've got too much power from my father. I got power and authority. I have the authority of the believer. I'm supposed to tread over serpents and scorpions. I'm living too low. I'm greedy to be everything God called me to be. What God says that I am, I got to be it. 50 Cent said, get rich or die trying. No, get like God or die trying. Get close to God or die trying. Believe in God or die trying. That's what we got to go after.
Got to move us out of here, but I got to turn a quick corner. Try not to take too long with it. 2 Corinthians 3:17-18, I'm going to read this. It says, now the Lord is that spirit. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The next verse says this, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So we are all being molded more into his image every day. So if you are slipping and falling, don't quit. God will mold you to his image. But let me put this up. We can't allow anything or anyone to devalue who we are in God. If you boiled Bishop Mitchell's messages down to one theme, it was know who you are in God. So as I close and turn just a quick corner, some people would wonder, why would a church say you can wear African gear? You could celebrate Black History Month, because in the image that God created, the scripture says he created male and female, but there's black and white in the image. There is Asian and Mexican in the image. And so I will never be not proud of the image that God has made me in. Yes, I'm black and I'm proud. Well, that ain't, no. You can be white and proud. You can be whatever you are and proud. You can be female and proud. But I'm a black man. I'm a black man and I'm proud of that. I didn't choose it. God chose it for me. So that means a bald-headed black man is in the image of God. So I'm not going to dumb myself down and apologize for who I am. I will talk about who I am. I will be proud in who I am. And you ought to be proud in who you are, because God chose you like Esther for such a time as this. Don't you take down for some reason. I don't care that somebody posted a video with Obama with apes, faces of apes. Listen, you can talk about me how you want. I know who I am. I know I'm not a monkey. I know I'm not beneath anybody. I'm a child of the living God. I'm a child of the King. I serve the King of Kings and he lives in me. You can be proud of who you are, but I'm going to be proud of who I am. I'm a black man and I'm proud. You can be a white man and be proud. You can be an Asian man and be proud. I know my African heritage and I'm not apologizing for nothing.
Don't apologize anymore for your big nose, for your big lips, for your curves. If God gave them to me, I'm going to work them. I'm going to walk in it. I'm going to wear it. I know who I am, and I'm grateful. Because it's all a part of the image of God. Here's our final point before we close. This is why racism is so dumb. You cannot reflect God while feeling superior to people made in his image. Don't you tell me I'm nothing. Don't you tell me I'm low. You don't know who my God is. I'm too greedy for my God for you to try to tell me who I am and what I came from. Don't you understand? My history did not start with slavery. That's a part of my history. But you got to go a whole lot further back. My history is much deeper than that. And I will not let anybody devalue me and tell me what I can be, where I can live, what I can drive, where I can vacation, what place I need to go to. And when I walk into a restaurant and they look at me funny, you don't deserve my money. I'll walk out and go somewhere where I'm celebrated. Stop going where you're tolerated and start going where you're celebrated because of God. All right. Go ahead and stand to your feet. Here's the final verse. Look at 1 John 4:20. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. So be proud of who you are in every aspect of that. Let's go to a confession and let's close. Here's our confession. Repeat after me. Father God,
Father God,
in this season,
don't let us get complacent
about you.
Instead,
let us greedily pursue you. Greedily pursue you until we are overflowing. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. I'm going to have the men come up that were part of the breakfast. We are praying over them first. And they are going to pray for you. For those of you who need prayer, the men are going to be praying today. So we thank God for that. Dear gracious Heavenly Father God, we thank you for who we are. But we can't be who we need to be if we don't greedily go after you. And don't let us be satisfied too quick. Let us pursue hard after you. And you fill us up. But God, even as you have done many things, one of the things you've done, you instituted the man as one of the marks of who you are. You did the same thing for the woman, but you brought the man first. And so God, as men, we get back in our rightful places to do what needs to be done. And we will not allow the women to have to do it all by themselves. But we will be the spiritual leaders that we need to be, not just in this house, but in our own homes. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. Have a great week. Those of you who need prayer, you can come.